What's up, everybody? G Money Stacks here, aka Lonely Nomad, aka the Greginator, aka the Rookie of New York. And I am here to tell you about Anchor. Anchor is a podcast app and hosting site owned by Spotify. Anchor is attempting to be the one-stop shop for podcasters without an extensive technical background. They follow vertical integration model, meaning that you can record your podcast, distribute your podcast through Anchor, and then monetize with Anchor. You know how people struggle with paying a hosting site, which includes limited storages? Forget about it. What I like about Anchor is the simple fact that unlimited storage is free, meaning you have the creative freedom to add your music to intros, outros, and uploading episodes. And also, may I add that you get paid for podcasting. It includes sponsorships and people supporting your show. All you have to do is download Anchor on your phones, tablets, laptops, and desktop computers. Remember, if you have a dream of creating your own podcast, don't let anyone stop you from achieving your goals and dreams. And if anyone has any questions or who sent you to Anchor, tell them G Money Stacks from Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast sent you. Yeah. What's up, everybody from around the world, state to state, regions on Long Island, plus the five boroughs. This is G Money Stacks, aka the Lonely Nomad, aka the Greginator, aka Rookie of New York.
And y'all already know the vibes, 1B.
And welcome to Off the Meat Rack Chains New York podcast, episode 7. Right here with me is B Live.
What it do, everybody? How y'all feeling? we right back about it with a new episode, man. Yeah, man.
So if anybody is new to the YouTube channel or anything like that, and you don't know what the show is about and everything, all you have to do is subscribe to the YouTube channel, G Money Stacks 555. Press the notification bell, so you can get notified for upcoming episodes and including the previous episodes that's been posted in case you miss any of them. So like, share with your friends, and you know the rest. So first off, how was your weekend?
Now, my week was straight. My weekend was good. Not too much happened. I got a great chance to watch that fight between King Ryan Garcia.
Okay.
He went.
Let's talk about it.
No, it was a good fight, man. You know, he finally faced a tough challenge. A dude, Luke Campbell, who's out there from the UK. He came out there to Vegas, and he got beat up by King Ryan Garcia. But Ryan Garcia got dropped. So he got dropped, and he actually got up from being dropped. And then came back and drop my man with a beautiful body punch. So it's a great night. Ryan Garcia answered a lot of questions. You feel me?
Damn, man. Would you say that's worse than Nate Robinson getting his ass beat by that white motherfucker?
No. Not at all, yo. That was horrible. It was terrible. Nate is one of my favorites, so you know it hurt me to see that happen. But hey, you live and you learn, right?
Yeah, I hear that, man.
You heard of that guy, King Erner?
Who?
King Erner. He's from Philadelphia.
Oh nah, I never heard of him. What's all he about?
No, he goes online. He speaks about taking people's honor. So his main thing is to be going against snitches in the streets. So if you snitch, he's going to take your honor.
Oh, wow.
Now, it's hilarious because he goes on and on. For years, he's been talking about Alpo from Harlem. Mm-hmm. You know, the drug dealer from Harlem.
Okay.
So we've been calling him a kitten and all types of disses going at him, calling him all types of names. Now, finally, his son responded, and his name is Paparazzi Paul. Now they're going back and forth, and now they're supposed to be boxing.
Paparazzi Paul,
yes, sir. Not Paparazzi. That's his name, you know. That's Al Paul's little son.
That's the worst.
So stepping up for his pops.
That's the worst name I ever heard in my life, man.
You know, you guys make the money off this internet. Internet is going up. A lot of money off of it. But that's not here nor there. How was your week, man?
My week was all right, though. I'm still celebrating my 36th birthday and everything.
Congrats,
brother. Alongside with a premiere of season 3 of one of my favorite TV shows called The Rookie.
All right. What's that about?
Which I'll get to before we even end the episode and stuff like that.
All right.
So this caught my attention as I was prepping to get ready and all the other stuff. And it's regarding Dr. Dre.
Yes, sir.
He had a health scare as far as a brain aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
And he told his fans, I actually have an article right here from the Source magazine. So let me just pull it up on my tablet, actually. All right, so it goes like this. Yesterday, the hip-hop world held its breath as pioneer and super producer Dr. Dre suffered from a brain aneurysm and was rushed to ICU in Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Doctors were able to stabilize Dre, who has now given the public an update via social media about his stable and improving condition. And he says, I'm doing great and getting excellent care from my medical team, said Dre via Instagram, giving thanks to fans, friends, and well wishes. You know, when I heard about this brain aneurysm thing, man, I've been having a hard time trying to basically understand how a person, you know, basically gets it as far as anything. Because years ago, a cousin of mine had a brain aneurysm and he actually passed and stuff like that.
Damn, sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah. And the crazy part is, like, I was not really expecting Dr. Dre to survive this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me ask you this though. Do you know anybody, especially either it's your family or friends, that actually had brain aneurysm before?
Nothing actually comes to my mind at this moment, so I would say no.
Mm. I see.
Yeah.
I see, man. In other news,
but wait up. Before we move on, how do people catch you? Googled it on how people catch brain aneurysms?
Actually, I was told via text message by somebody. Actually, let me just look this up.
Okay, good. Let's enlighten the people.
Should we explain what a brain aneurysm is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hang on a minute. Let me pull up the thing real quick. Sound like you got a cold, man.
Listen, man, I hope not, bro. I hope it's just my allergies, man. You know, hope it's just my allergies. I tell you a crazy story after we get off, you know, after we get off this topic. But I tell you a crazy story.
Yeah, hold that thought. Let me look up what the brain aneurysm is about, though. Okay, so what is a brain aneurysm? Okay, here we go. Hold on. Okay. All right. According to WebMD, a brain aneurysm, also known as a I'm gonna have to spell this out for you, man.
Yeah.
It's SUBARACHNOID.
Hold on. I can't even. I don't even know. Which site you looking on?
WebMD.
Oh, you on WebMD? Okay. And then yeah. What is it? Brain aneurysm?
Yeah.
I'm on Mayo Clinic, whatever the hell that is.
Mayo Clinic.
Yeah, Mayo Clinic.
Oh, man. Type in what is a brain aneurysm.
Oh, okay, hold on. I think I see what you got. What is this? A subarachnoid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it. Subarachnoid hemorrhage is a type of bleeding stroke that happens between your brain and the membrane that surrounds it.
That's crazy. That's crazy though, because it's like different types of aneurysms that I never even heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is actually, did we even explain what a brain aneurysm is to everybody?
Subarachnoid. That's how you say it. You heard?
Yeah.
Listen.
Subarachnoid. Gotcha.
All right. So now we good. So now we can say it. All right.
All right. So for those of you out there who may not know what a brain aneurysm is, it's basically a brain aneurysm, also known as a subarachnoid hemorrhage, is a weak spot in the wall of the blood vessel inside the brain. Think of a weak spot in a balloon and how it feels stretched out and thin. A brain aneurysm is like that. This is scary, man.
It's scary, man. It's very scary. Very, very scary, man. No.
And one of the colleagues actually texted me, trying to figure out how it's caused. Trying to figure out what it's caused by. If I'm not mistaken. I think it's headache along with let me see. Damn. I think I lost that right there though. Hold on. Let me see this. What causes brain aneurysm? Okay, so the symptoms to the brain aneurysm, it goes something like this: aging. Okay, I'm gonna spell it out for you: A T H E R O S C L E R O S I S.
even know what you're trying to say, bro. What site you want again?
No, I actually typed in what causes brain aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the symptoms and causes that I'm looking at right now.
I can't even see it, bro.
Oh, man.
My fault, kid.
Yeah, man.
What did it say causes it? Like, I know they say, like,
it's aging,
practice, aging, stuff like high blood pressure, I'm sure. Stuff like that.
Yeah, high blood pressure, smoking,
mm-hmm.
Alcohol and drug abuse, mm-hmm. family history, previous brain aneurysm, head injury, blood infection, atherosclerosis. That's what it is. Okay. All right. Atherosclerosis. There we go. All right. So what was the crazy story you was about to talk about?
Oh, no. Nah, I don't even think I should let it be known yet. I don't want to jinx myself. So maybe I'll speak about it next week once, I've gotten through it.
Wow.
So I don't even want to bring it up. Plus, it involves other people. So I don't know if they want their story out there just yet. So I'm gonna hold it back. You feel me?
Yeah, hey man.
I ain't gonna say anything. So what else do we talk about, man? But yeah, basically you gotta take care of yourself, man. Of course, Dre is what, in his 50s, in his mid-50s, he's approaching 60. So he's getting Dr. Dre.
Wait, I didn't know he was in his 50s.
Yeah, I think he's in his 50s. I think he's like 50. He might be mid-50s, close to his 60s.
Oh, shit.
Dre is no spring chicken.
Did you just say spring chicken? I just finished eating, no man.
Yeah, he's an old guy.
Oh, man. But nah, I don't see no white hairs on him because he's bald, man.
55.
Yeah, but I don't see no white hairs though. He cut his hair off.
Yeah, he gotta let it go. Nothing wrong with that. But I remember a few years ago, Dr. Dre was very healthy. Remember, he was real big.
Yeah.
Him and Timbaland, they had gotten real big.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Because Timbaland was looking like a bodybuilder at one time.
Yeah, I did remember that one.
And Dr. Dre was looking big too, but like you said, with age, all of that stuff, he has a couple of the factors with smoking. I don't know if he has high blood pressure or not, but a lot of us at that age tend to have high blood pressure. So, it wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, boy. Man, that's pretty crazy, though, man. I don't wish that on anybody, man. Like, that shit is scary, like I said, though, man.
Most definitely. Take care of yourself.
Not even scary about what happened in Washington, D.C. today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you saw what happened, mm-hmm. but like from what I'm hearing, from all the scenes I've been seeing and stuff like that, apparently these Trump garbage burger supporters basically went to the Capitol, and I believe there was like broken windows, and then now a couple minutes ago, as I was watching Amanda Seales and Angela Rye's Instagram Live, and they was talking about a noose, and I'm like, I hear that word so many times though. That shit sounds so fucking disturbing,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like in my head, like, what do coronavirus, explosives, and fucking I forget the other one. Like, what is the one thing they got in common? Terrorism.
Yeah, you're right.
Coronavirus was man-made to kill people, which is terrorism.
You better not say that too loud, man. You might get banned.
No, I'm just...
You might get live fact-checked by CNN.
Man, they don't know how to tell the damn truth, man. They just sugarcoat shit.
Mm.
That's why I want. That's why I don't watch the news like that. That's why I stopped listening to 1010 Wins, because they don't really tell you the whole truth. They just sugarcoat the shit. And this is what happens when you vote for a fucking celebrity like President 45, aka Agent Orange Trampoline, alongside with fucking blue cheese Mike Pence.
Mm.
Because I was saying something in a text message earlier, in regards to who he reminds me of. You know who he reminds me of back in the day?
Who's that?
King Midas.
King Midas?
The guy who touches every item and it turns into gold.
Yeah. You stupid. You saying the way he looked?
Huh?
You saying the way he looked?
The way he's acting. And according to his actions, that's who he reminds me of.
Nah, I hear you, man. You're right. For 1 second, man. You know what I mean? Hold on. I'm gonna have to mute myself for a second. You can introduce the new topic, man, if you want, but hold on. Let me mute myself for a second.
Yeah, hold on. Hold on a minute. As far as the new topic. Let me see, what else can I talk about here? Oh, let me see here. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm with you.
Yeah. Another topic I was going to actually bring up is an actress from That 70s Show who thought that she was dead, but turns out that she's still alive. Apparently she collapsed out of the blue while walking her dog. Like, can you really imagine somebody that you know walking their dog and they end up collapsing out of the blue?
My bad.
That's crazy, man.
You said who met? What happened? The door collapsed.
The actress, the actress from That 70s Show,
mm-hmm.
basically collapsed while walking her dog.
Yeah,
which I find it crazy though, because like, you rarely hear somebody like a celebrity who collapses while walking their dog out of the blue. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's like it's a little odd. You rarely hear stories like that though.
No, you're right, but I'm just saying, what was wrong with the person? They were short of breath, or they just collapsed out of nowhere? Like,
let me look this up. So according to page 6, the actress name is Tanya Roberts.
Tanya Roberts.
Yeah.
Sound like a regular person to me.
I didn't even say that shit though.
Yeah, email from Tanya Roberts. Fell on the facility.
Oh man, that's crazy, man. But let me see.
Tanya Roberts.
Man. You never watched That 70s Show?
Nah. That 70s Show. That's what I don't even know who's in that.
Austin Ashton Kutcher.
I never heard of it, man.
Ashton Kutcher.
I still never heard of That 70s Show.
It used to come on Fox, Be Live.
I watched it, but I know some of the actors.
That's that show that Wilson was on first.
Valderrama.
That's the show that my man was on.
Who?
Charlie Sheen.
Oh, No, you idiot.
The one that he took.
Charlie Sheen was in Two and a Half Men.
Oh. Ain't that a movie?
TV show.
There is a movie to it. Two and a Half Men or Two Men and a Baby.
Exactly. <too. coughs> Whatever. But nah, I don't even know what that is, man. I probably know them by voice. I mean, by if I see the picture, I'm like, oh, all right, I know who that is. I never watched the 70s show.
But I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I only know two actors.
I watch The Big Bang. That show is official. The Big Bang Theory.
That's I'm familiar with that one right there.
That show is official.
You don't watch that show.
That's a. I never seen it. Exactly. That's why you almost fell. Talking
like
crazy.
Like that.
Oh yeah.
No, that's good.
So yeah, it turns out that she was placed on a ventilator because she was struggling to breathe, according to O'Brien, who said he wasn't allowed to visit Roberts because of coronavirus protocols until what he thought were her final moments. As I held her in her last moment, she opened her eyes, he told TMZ. On Sunday, I was able to see her beautiful eyes one last time. Tanya had the most beautiful eyes.
She died?
She's still alive.
Oh, he thought she died.
He thought that she died.
Damn, yo.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Wow.
Not only her role on that 70s show, she also had a role in a 007 flick, A View to a Kill. Then she was on the 1980s Charlie's Angels.
1980s? I probably know her by face. Because if she's around for 1980s Charlie's Angels, then she must have been a pretty, you know, she was getting up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. She's like, wait a minute. She's like 65.
Yeah, man, that's about right.
I don't know if 65 is considered young age or stuff, so I'm not so sure.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
So that'd have been right. That'd make it about right. Because if, you know, the show was in the 80s, that was about, what, 40 years ago? 30-something years ago? So that'd have made her about 25, 26. Yeah. Charlie, that's about around the right age for her to be in something like that. Mm. You know?
Yeah. Because I didn't know about the TV show Charlie's Angels because I was born in 85.
Yeah.
This was way after this happened.
Most definitely.
And that was like almost around the time Jeopardy came out.
Where, 85?
No.
We 84, Jeopardy came
out. I think.
Jeopardy came out in 84?
That's like around the time I think Alex Trebek started hosting Jeopardy.
That's, oh my Lord. That's what I call a job security for you. 30-something odd years doing that.
Between 36 to 37 years, man.
Yeah,
you rarely see TV game show hosts last this long. That's like a longevity of being a legendary TV host.
Exactly. Right. He was almost, you know, he's been in every single American home. You know, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Almost every American home watched him.
Yeah.
And that's from each different age group. So we could look at my grandmother. Know who he is. My mother know who he is. I know who he is. If I had kids, they won't know who he is. But
yeah,
we're talking three generations of people who actually knew who he was.
Yeah.
The same thing with Michael Jackson. I mean, he had something like, what, almost 50 years of people knowing who he was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting because me and Saul talked about this in the first episode around November 11th. 2020 of last year when we started the show on YouTube and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find, and I was trying to, you know, basically explain that I think it's too soon to actually, you know, worry about who's going to take over his host or whatever. Because it's like, because like I said in the first episode, it's not about replacing the person. It's more like trying to figure out how you're going to make the show Jeopardy more interesting compared to a Wheel of Fortune, Family Feud, and all the other stuff.
Exactly. I think Family Feud did a great job with that once they got Steve Harvey as the host. he does a great job on that show.
Yeah, he's hilarious though, man.
Sometimes I just watch those clips. If it makes you happy to watch those type of clips because they're hilarious.
Yeah, you should see his react. You should see his reaction, especially in the bloopers on YouTube.
Hilarious, exactly.
Yo, man. And I'm not gonna forget that one reaction in that one particular clip of Celebrity Family Feud when he had Snoop Dogg on there.
Oh yeah.
When Snoop Dogg said pie and a horse, I was like, yo, how you put a pie in a horse, man?
I don't think anyone was expecting that response. That was hilarious.
Oh man.
My favorite one was when the first person goes and they get like 140 something points. In the all the person got to do is get like 10 points and they blow it. That make me laugh so much, man. Sometimes I watch it just to see those.
Damn, man.
You know and what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The fast money round, the first person, they do so well. That is just hard for the next person to get any answers, and they mess it up. I always thought about my show, if my family ever went on Family Feud, we'd be completely different than all other families because comment, we would tease each other off of it.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you stupid. So I always knew you was stupid.
But you know, to get on Family Feud and stuff like that, I think you have to audition, and I think you have to win like 5 games, and that'll get you a car and shit.
That's what's up. You ever thought about your family going on there?
No, I don't know about that one right there, man. I'm not going to be running my scripts and shit. Come on, now. You know I don't like scripted TV, man. It's like going on a reality TV show like Love and Hip Hop New York and on them other bitch ass franchise.
Nah, you're right. Hey, how you think y'all would do if you did get into that? How would y'all compete?
Oh man, that's a hard one right there, man. it'll depend on the type of questions that's being asked though, man.
Right.
But I'm not gonna forget that one Family Feud episode when one of the contestants so the question was related to Colonel Sanders of KFC and everything. This lady said that that Colonel Sanders rides a horse. Like, what? I was like, yo, man, wait a minute here. Steve Harvey was like, what horse? Where are you? I've been eating this man's chicken since I was a little boy. What horse? He fries chicken. What is he doing? What are you doing with a horse?
Exactly.
When did Colonel Sanders get a damn horse?
You know what people think about. Help me. You know who they think about, right? When they think about Colonel Sanders. Think about that slave master. That's what they think about.
Oh my God.
They think about a white racist slave trader. That's what they think about.
Oh man. How you figure that though?
That's what I think sometimes when I think of the Colonel Sanders.
Oh my goodness, man.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes, man.
Oh my goodness, man. That's crazy, man.
What this dude, man.
Yeah, what was your favorite Family Feud?
You don't remind me of a plantation owner.
What the hell? I can't believe you got a picture of Colonel Sanders.
I just Googled it.
Oh shit.
What you think about when you see this man?
Oh my god.
What you think about D Money Stay That?
Yo,
what you think I'm about when you see the Colonel?
I'm weak, man. I'm weak. I did not think he was gonna look up his picture right now.
I told you, bro. What's the first thing that come to your mind when you see that?
The first thing that come to my mind?
Yeah.
As far as Colonel Sanders?
Yeah, there's a guy who looked like that.
Huh? There's a guy who looked like that.
No, I'm saying as the actor. Let's say you've seen somebody like that. What's the first thing that come to your mind?
Shit. That's a hard one right there, man. That's a hard one right there, man. I can't even think of a celebrity that probably looked like that too, man.
I hear you, man.
But then it got me thinking about Mario Lopez playing Colonel Sanders. Like, what the hell? Like, wait a minute, man. Like,
right.
Like this is crazy. Mario Lopez doesn't look anything about like Colonel Sanders, man.
Right. Nah, you're definitely right. You know?
Oh my goodness, man. But nah, what was your favorite Family Feud episode? That's hilarious.
Nah, I don't watch all, you know, the whole episodes. It's just certain scenes I like. So the scene that you mentioned with Snoop, that was one of my favorites. I'm like, how the hell did Snoop pull that out of his head? And I like the ones where they say the stupid things, you know? I like that one. It really makes me laugh when people get up there and say crazy stuff. Also like the ones where, like I said earlier, when the person gets a lot of points in the first round and then in the second round, the guy comes up and can't do anything. That type of thing make me chuckle, man.
Oh, man.
You know?
Yeah, that's really something right there, man.
Son.
Right. Damn, man.
You watching in the background, bro?
In the background?
Yeah.
In the background I'm watching is, what time is it right now? TMZ.
Oh, that's TMZ. Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's what kind of helped me gather some ideas for topics to talk about and stuff.
Gotcha.
Compared to podcast shows that I listen to on Spotify and whatnot and everything else. Speaking of a podcast, so tell me why I was listening to Dead End Hip Hop podcast on Spotify, right? And these two guys from it's the Mic Still On, Ken and FIFA, right? Yeah. They were doing you know, music album reviews and stuff like that, and they was talking about Currency. So as soon as they said that Currency made 75 albums, I'm like, wait a minute. How is that even possible compared to E-40, who made over 28 albums?
Currency?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, think about it.
I wouldn't have thought that. I like Currency, though. You can rap.
But 75 albums, though? That's crazy.
You probably got a lot of unofficial joints. Those can't all be record releases. Well, I guess maybe if he owned his own record label and, you know, he got a way to distribute it, maybe digitally, I guess it's possible. It's possible.
Yeah, that'd be the same with Too Short, though. He probably made over 28 albums, too, compared to LL Cool J.
How many LL has?
How many albums LL Cool J has? I'm going to basically look that up right now.
It's Too Short been in the game for a minute.
LL. Okay.
Too Short or OG. I met Too Short too.
Yeah.
Yes,
what was he like when you met him in person as far as his really personality?
Conversation with the man. I was in Vegas and I was at the Manny Pacquiao versus Ricky Hatton fight. And I was just walking in the in the inside of the what's name, the casino, and we walking in a different direction. And I'm like, oh snap, that's too short. Like, hey, yo, what up, Dow?
Dang.
It was cool.
Yeah, so LL Cool J has like 13 albums.
You got 13 and Homeboy got 28.
Let me do this.
But remember, LL had retired from the game.
Yeah, because he's an actor on NCIS Los Angeles.
Exactly. I'm sure his
which is like on his 12th season.
Exactly.
And I'm like, that's legendary status right there, and man.
He's syndicated too, right?
Huh?
I think it's syndicated too, right?
What, NCIS or Los Angeles? It's on CBS.
Yeah. So he getting paid though for that. I'm sure he made more money acting than he did rapping.
Yeah. Damn, man. Let me see, man. So let me see what Currency has. Let's see. Never even listened to his music before, but when you heard him for the first time though, like what is it that you liked about him as far as the story?
What do you mean besides the story?
As far as, you know, does he feel like a storyteller to you?
I mean, somewhat. You know, I'm not too into it. You know, I don't really know too much of his music like that. Just a few joints I heard of him, you know, he did his thing. So he cool. I got no issues with him. How about you? How do you feel about him?
24. I'm like, wait a minute. It couldn't be no 75 albums, man. That's crazy, man.
That's crazy.
25 albums.
25 and albums.
Let me look up E40 status.
E40 up there, son. I'm telling you that.
Damn, 25.
Who got 25?
E40.
E40.
I'm like, damn, man. And let's see, Too Short.
Keep it real. You ever listen to any of E40 albums?
Huh? Yo, I'm not gonna feed this one song that I heard when I was in Florida years ago, man. Tell me when to go. Tell me when to go.
How you like that song?
It's like a party. It's like going to a party. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But in a crunk way.
Exactly.
Whenever you go to a party, you know it's going to be off the meat rack right there, man. A bunch of women dancing and everything, man. That's a prime example of off the meat rack. Exactly. No, off the chain to be exact. Excuse me, off the chain.
What Nori used to say, off the yells about.
What the hell? What Nori used to say that. Hey, what the hell? Oh my god. Damn, man. So Too Short has 15 albums.
Sure, dog.
I'm like, damn.
I like Too Short.
Now, out of those rappers that I mentioned, now 25 albums. Do you see that as a world record?
25 records?
25 albums.
25 albums? That's a lot, man. That's up there, kid. To be respected.
I don't know how a lot of people have time to listen to 25 albums though by E40.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's amazing, man.
Yes, sir. But E-40 been, you know, he's also a guy that's been around in the game for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah, he sure has. Yeah, he sure has, though, man.
Gotta be respected.
You know, speaking of being respected, a lot of these award shows, this is why I don't watch award shows anymore, man. Every time and every year, when it comes to award shows and everything, they tend to snub singers and rappers. And the reason I bring that up is because it has to do with The Weeknd.
Mm-hmm.
Now, The Weeknd, because it would be impossible for him to perform at the Grammys compared to the Super Bowl. Now, if I was in his position and everything, I would have went for the Super Bowl because it's more fun than being on an award show knowing that you're going to get ripped off of a fucking nominee and an award.
Right.
it's like, yo, I can't even recall the last time I watched the Soul Train Awards, man.
Yeah, I haven't watched them in a long time either. Watching in a long time.
Damn, man. Like, who you telling, man?
Wow. That stuff don't interest me anymore. Sometimes, you know, maybe I'll watch it to see the performances. I haven't watched the Super Bowl in a minute, so I can't tell you about that. But at one time, I did like watching the Super Bowl. So if I was an artist or a performer, I'm almost definitely want to do a performance at the Super Bowl. That goes down in history. Super Bowl is one of the single most watched events in America.
Right? Yeah.
You agree? I would definitely want to perform there.
Yeah. That would be off the chain right there. But the only difference is there's no audience and shit.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's the whole slamdemic coronavirus shit has
slamdemic done took over.
The slamdemic has ruined a lot of lives, man. Yo, I'm gonna tell you. I call it the slamdemic because it's ruined a lot of lives and people are losing businesses and all that other stuff. Even fucking Neiman Marcus and along with retail stores like Century 21 and movie theaters and alongside with Broadway, yeah, I feel bad for them, man. Mm-hmm. They losing out on some money.
Right. It's crazy.
And unemployment, which I didn't get a chance to discuss that in the previous episode and everything. Mm-hmm. I tried to look up the statistics of the rise of unemployment, and it's crazy right now. I can't even keep up with this shit.
Mm.
And I got a friend of mine who got laid off because of the slamdemic.
Sad.
Yeah, who you telling, man?
Definitely sad. I mean, as a country, we're facing hard times, we're facing very hard times as a country. And how we proceed from this point forward is going to mean a lot to the kids in the future, because if we're looking at it, we don't know when the economy is going to go back to normal. And we can't just keep losing and losing and losing and not have it affect us in the future. So we're going to see.
I don't even know when we're gonna get out of this slamdemic, man. Because you know, as I was saying in the previous episode yesterday, like these motherfuckers in Miami, Florida, California, and Georgia, it's like they didn't take this shit seriously, man. And mm-hmm. and that ties into what I was talking about with the whole Tom Cruise thing and everything, since you weren't there yesterday. So I'll fill you in with the whole Tom Cruise thing and stuff like that. So basically he was spazzing out on the crew in regards to the fact that one of them wasn't taking the COVID-19 protocol seriously. This first like, instead of being 6 feet away, it's like 3 feet close. Like, it's crazy, man. Yo, let me see if I can actually find what he actually said, because this, yo, hold on, man.
Let me look at it. I'm going to try to find it. We talking about Tom Cruise mom shoes, right?
The Mission Impossible 7 thing.
Let me check it out.
If you could,
the COVID-19 rant you talking about, right?
Yeah, if you can find the audio, just play it.
Right, hold on, I'm going to play it now.
To the Sun, the UK tabloid who leaked audio from scolding staff members, who started lashed out on set again on Tuesday. Even higher on the Mission Impossible 7 set. A second outburst reportedly led to 5 crew members resigning from the production.
What?
The source added, quote, tension has been building for months, and this was the final straw.
How many meters is that? When people are standing around a computer hanging out around here, what are you doing?
In the recording leaked earlier this week, Tom, who is also a producer on the film, staff members who seemingly violated health and safety guidelines months after filming was shut down due to the ongoing health crisis. Public opinion on the leak has been mixed. Some are praising Tom Cruise for upholding the guidelines, while others have criticized his approach. On the Howard Stern Show, George Clooney shared his thoughts on the matter.
If the production goes down, a lot of people lose their jobs, and it's, you know, people have to understand that and they have to be responsible. It's just not my style to take everybody to task that way.
And Whoopi Goldberg, who has headlined big budget projects of her own, she offered her take on The View.
You can get a new camera operator. No disrespect to camera operators. You can get a new sound man, but you can't get another Tom Cruise. It's him. And if he's looking over and he can see you not doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's kind of like a little bit of a middle finger, in my opinion.
But in a statement, a spokesperson for the union representing the film crews in the UK criticizes Tom's rant, saying, quote, after a very difficult year for free.
Get this guy out of here, man. First of all, I understand being angry. Of course, you're going to be angry. The stakes are high. But at the same time, there's better ways to deal with people than attempting to scream at them and yell at them like that. Who are you to be yelling at people like that? You're not my father. Come on. You're trying to belittle someone? What if you succeed in belittling that person? Now that person takes it upon themselves to try to get their manhood back and punch you in your face. Right?
I mean, the way I looked at it when I saw his rants and stuff like that, I don't blame him because he's not just looking out. He's, as I was saying yesterday in episode 6 or whatever. I was trying to explain to Soul and Robin that he's not just looking out for himself. He's looking out for people and their jobs and everything. I mean, if you probably don't remember it, Mission Impossible 7 filming got put on pause and everything. So he doesn't want the movie to be on pause again because if that happens, the movie studios end up losing some money.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying, but you're acting as if Tom Cruise is sane. Tom Cruise got issues, bro. Remember he was on Oprah?
Huh? Oh, yeah, when he jumped on the couch and everything.
I see his manic. He's everywhere.
I didn't understand that shit, too.
What's happening? This guy's everywhere, son. So you put that in context of this. And that was just him on the down though. So, I think this guy needs some help, man.
But he's in his 50s though, man. Like you can't blame the guy for not only looking out for his money, but looking out for other people's money.
Right. You know, as for a regular person, I could see that. But for him, that guy just flipped out, man. You know, he flipped out.
But wait a minute though. If you were in Tom Cruise's situation or whatever, and you see one or two people not taking the COVID-19 protocol seriously, instead of being 6 feet, they end up being 3 feet close to a person or whatever. How would you react though?
All right, let me ask you this though. How would I react it? Well, yeah. I'm not the person to put people on the spot and try to embarrass people. So I definitely wouldn't yell at them. Maybe I'd have pulled them to the side and spoke to them like they were regular human beings and allowed them to understand the gravity of the situation. It's just not my style to scream at people and yell at people like that.
But I think what a lot of people are forgetting is the fact that you have people that are anti-maskers who don't really give a flying fuck about other people's health. If you really think about it, man, this fucking slandemic coronavirus shit is fucking dangerous, man. This is not a game.
Right.
We're really dealing with multiple battles, not just the slamdemic, but we're dealing with fucking terrorism going on in Washington, D.C.
Right.
All because of Agent Orange trampoline and Mike Pence, aka Blue Cheese, are a bunch of spoiled brats. All because they lost the election and they really took it too far, though, man. Now you want to be on some Ku Klux Klan type of shit, man. Yo, for real though, man. Like it's not like they lost a fucking kente cloth and shit, man. I mean, think about it though, man.
Definitely crazy. Because at first, I'm like, in no possible way that widespread violence would break out in this country. I did not think that it could happen. But now that I see how polarized this country is when it comes to politics, I think we have extreme people on both sides. And I think that the smallest thing may ignite the worst out of these people. And we may have a situation that we haven't seen in hundreds of years in this country.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm sorry, not what you see, I'm wilding. This stuff like this was happening in the 60s and 70s, you know, 60s mm-hmm. and late 50s. So not since that time have we been seeing things that's gonna have this much effect on history. We're living in a great time. The stuff that we're seeing right now are gonna be the things in the history books that our children will be reading about. You feel me?
Yo, if I ever saw a fucking noose and shit, I don't know how I would react though, man. I'd be petrified, man.
Why would you be petrified of a damn noose?
Because, man, the shit reminds me of all the fucking boring slave movies and shit that's going on. I'm like, yo, that's why I got tired of slave movies, man, because it's mad depressing. Mm-hmm. Like, who wants to watch depressing movies like that, though, man?
Right.
Especially the Nate Parker shit, man.
Mm-hmm. Crazy, man.
Yeah, who you telling, man? Who are you telling, man?
Exactly.
I feel like 2021 has gotten off to a rocky, shaky start, though, man. Yeah.
2021, like, boy, 2020, you try to show me up, son, I'm going to show you.
I don't know about that one right there.
We're going to see. Because listen, man, coronavirus ain't going nowhere. It ain't going anywhere. Then you heard of the new variants?
Huh?
Did you hear of the new variants?
New variants?
Yeah.
As far as what?
The coronavirus. So they got different strains.
I heard there's a new strain coming from the UK.
One coming from the UK. They have another one in South Africa that's supposedly real bad. And then they have another one in West Africa.
Oh, shit.
So this thing is, you know, it's crazy.
And I hear people all the time saying that these face covers and masks is not gonna help or whatever. But if you really fucking think about it, like you don't want nobody coughing on you and sneezing on you and all that other shit though, man. Because when I heard about this disease, and for people to say that these coronavirus is not airborne. Yes, it is airborne because it's based on droplets.
You're right.
Like if a person was near me and this person coughs, you know the droplets is gonna be in the air and everything. Come on.
Right.
It's like a lot of people don't really believe in fucking common sense when it comes to other people's health. Right. You got other people that's dealing with, you know, high blood pressure, and you know, diabetes and all that other stuff, man. Like, why you want to add COVID-19, aka coronavirus disease 2019, to this shit?
Right.
That's to me, that's being selfish, man. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying this to put anybody down or whatever, but it's like you got a bunch of fucking jerks that don't know how to care for one another. It just seems to me that they don't really have the capacity to have, you know, and it's not even about compassion. This is about empathy. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. People are crazy.
Yeah,
take away my rights. If I don't want to have to wear a mask, I shouldn't have to wear a mask.
Dang.
How Americans feel.
Yeah, it's crazy though, man.
I'm worried about another lockdown. If these fools act real foolish out there, they may try to put us in another lockdown.
I think it's a
mandatory lockdown.
It's like it has to do with the amount of hospitals that's being overwhelmed with patients, mm-hmm. and it's not even enough space for other patients who need the most help.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not it's not just happening in New York. It's happening in California. California's getting kind of worse.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the hospital beds is getting filled up like crazy and like rice cakes. Like, it's crazy, son.
Right. Yeah, do it out there in Cali.
Man, in California.
Good thing I'm not living over there, man. Cali. I can't imagine myself living over there, especially Hollywood.
I hear you. I want to visit, though. I tell you that.
It's just too much dirty politics, man. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the dirty politics years ago with Oscar So White.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that shit?
No, what happened?
The Oscars, the award show, which I don't watch anymore. For those of you who may not know what happened with the Oscars, there was a controversy, and there was like an article in regards to the Oscars award show, you know, not having diversity as far as like, you know, African Americans and as far as like, you know, people of color and everything, because you know, the idiots, the old dinosaurs, only care about, you know, the vanilla wafers of actors.
What?
It's like crazy, man.
You're going in with the names today. Well, you're on the roll.
I'm mad animated, not because of how I laugh and everything, but it'd be like a spur of the moment. And the only time I'm funny, that's if it's like some spur of the moment type thing, because it's like natural. It's like natural shit that comes to me. That's what it is.
Well, that's what's up. For real.
Yo, man. And I'll be like wondering, man, like how do people sleep at night, man, knowing that they don't really care for other people, man? That shit really sucks to me.
It's hard.
I actually cried about this shit too.
Wow. Why you cry about it? What happened?
I cried about this shit because of the fact that we're not gonna get out, like you said before, we're not gonna get out of this slamdemic anytime soon. I say this shit's gonna be like maybe 3 years, maybe maybe 3 years or some shit, man. But you know, everybody's like, you know, anti-vaccines and shit and all the other stuff. But I feel like this though, man. You got cats who's worried about getting a piece of ass by being fucking rubberneckers and shit, going to parties and everything. But then you wanna draw the line into not taking the COVID-19 vaccine so we could get out of this fucking slamdemic, man. Because we can't stay in the slamdemic forever. It's fucking up the economy. And if this continues, we're gonna end up in the economic tsunami, just like the NTA.
I tell you what, I hope I don't gotta go back to work in the office. I tell you that I love being home working, bro. I'm very productive. I don't wanna have to deal with all that nonsense that goes on in the office. I'm more relaxed now. My blood pressure don't get up. I don't get angry. I don't care about office politics. This is beautiful. This is all that one could ask for.
Yo, what about financial security, man? Like you said,
listen, as long as I can work from home,
You mean to tell me you turn down financial security to work from home and everything? How does that work?
What I'm saying is that the same job that I do in the office, I can do from home. So I'm getting the same type of pay. You understand? My salary stays the same. So it doesn't really affect me. You understand? I still got my same job. I could log into my office workspace and I could work from home. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm doing the same exact job just from home now. So what I'm saying is that if they don't have to pay for the office space, I'm hoping that we don't have to go back to an office space. We have our meetings. I connect my camera, my microphone up. I'm at the computer, getting information, having shares and things like this. We're doing meetings. You can still be productive working from home. Mm. This is what I'm saying. So I hope we never go back to the physical. I don't got to ride the trains. I don't got to deal with the madness of the trains. It's beautiful. I've been
because you drive, man.
No, I'm saying because I do ride the trains. But when I go to work every day, I'm on them more. And this based off of my little observations. Peep this.
Okay.
When I was going to work every single day, I did not see this amount of mentally disturbed people in the subways.
Oh, no. The bums.
Almost every single ride, there's someone causing destruction. There's someone messing with my vibe.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
The other day I'm riding the train, and this dude, he just sitting in the chair, and this white guy seemed like he just came home from work. He's reading with his camera up like this. So him away from me, son. And the white boy like, yo, I'm just reading, man. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna read your ass if you don't take that camera off. I'm just like, oh my Lord, these guys are crazy.
Oh man,
it's wild.
Not even more wild than the time that I was on the E train going to LaGuardia Community College and everything, right? Okay. So tell me why, as I'm trying to get off at Roosevelt Avenue, Jackson Heights, there's this random person who is basically faking the funk, pretending that he's sick, and he got ambulances and cops coming to the train station and shit, man, disrupting people's way to work, man. I was like, yo, man, like never again, man. Like it's just crazy to me, man. And then you have train derailments, which cost me my first job interview for Red Lobster in Brooklyn near the Barclays Center.
That's crazy, bro.
I stopped taking the train a long time ago, man, because I'm not trying to get trapped in the damn train and then I have a traumatic experience. Fuck that. That is not happening to me. Not in a million years.
One time I got caught up in the train over there by, It's funny because that you said you went to LaGuardia. Now, I work, my office building is close to that.
What, LaGuardia Community College?
Yeah, it's in Long Island City.
Thompson Avenue. That's where my college is.
It's walking distance to over there, to where I work. I used to work on Northern.
Northern Boulevard?
Yeah.
All right.
So it's like right over there. So it's funny because we had to work during Sandy, Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah.
Remember, the subways got breached with water.
Yeah.
There were certain lines that still ran.
Uh-huh.
Man, the D was running. So
yeah,
I just so happened to find my way out to the BX.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
And how did that experience go?
Man, it was a mess trying to get around. It was impossible to get around. So my job, they sent us black cars to come pick us up.
Mm-hmm. And we
actually stayed and slept at the job, man, for like two straight days doing work. It's crazy.
That has to suck though, man. It had to be a nightmare for you, man.
Nah, it was, man. It was a horrible experience. Horrible.
Yeah, that's why you end up getting yourself a little sweet ride of a car, man. So you don't gotta worry about no damn trains anymore, man. I don't blame you.
If you think about it, the storms that we had, they just were many setups for what just happened now.
Uh-huh.
Think about it. It's called COVID-19. I know it was December of 2019. But that just means we had a whole year of it.
Yeah.
Because it's 2021 now, you know, beginning of 2021. So we had a whole year of COVID. COVID was the main focus of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, that was though, man. And on top of the fucking slamdemic, there was also shootings and shit. Which reminds me, these two cops who shot Jacob Blake got fired, and they're not being charged. That shit,
you got fired though.
That shit sickens me, man. That shit really sickens me right there, man. It's like Blake Jacobs is not going to be the same. He's paralyzed for life. He can't walk or do anything.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And the crazy shit is I actually went to a protest last year for George Floyd.
Oh, you went to one?
Yeah, this was like around where I live. It was like
activist, brother. I like that, man. Yeah, you got dashiki and everything. You had an afro.
But it took place in Southeast Queens. Okay. We started from Laurelton, which is in Southeast Queens, by Merrick, by 231st. I didn't get to 233rd or 231st in time, but I did catch up with the crowd and everything and all that other stuff. And it was like a mean walk. It was like a mean walk from there to Roy Wilkins Park. Mm-hmm. Yo, when I had that exercise and shit, and I actually got the whole video on my page, man. Yo. I don't know if I should put it on my YouTube page, man, but I'm gonna just leave it though, man.
It's a beautiful look.
Yeah, but the thing is, I can't really see myself being an activist every day because I'm already dealing with battles of my own, trying to make sure I don't have any more blackout seizures and shit, man. I can't stay out there protesting and not eat any food and shit, man. I can't do it.
Nah, I hear you, son.
It just sounds like suicide to me, man.
I hear that. That's definitely respectable, brother. Definitely a respectable thing. But I looked at that case. It's very hard. I say that the police definitely used excessive force.
Yes, they did. Other than
that, it was shown that he did have a knife in his hand. But there's a couple things that I think of when I think of that. When we slow down the video, we see that he's walking away from the police officers. He was holding a blade. So he did have a gun. I'm sorry, a weapon. And he was going toward the car. These police officers shot him, what, seven times, the guy? Yeah, seven times. And all he had was a knife. Now, you try to put yourself in the police officer's shoes and you say, okay, maybe he was trying to reach for a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, you shoot him. But seven times, man, come on, son. That's excessive force to me. And you said that they lost their jobs?
Yeah, they got fired. They're not even getting charged, though. That's the crazy shit.
And I think that just like regular citizens have to be responsible for their actions, so should police officers. We can't look at it as the cops just having it one way and just having their job be a good job being done if the person is captured. You understand? And that's just signifying that was a good job being done.
Yeah.
You can capture the person. There's multiple ways of capturing a person. Yeah. You don't just have to shoot them. So I ask you, let's say you shoot them once or twice or maybe even three times. Is that enough times to stop the person from moving? At what point does it become excessive? Would 10 shots be excessive as opposed to 7? Would 12 shots be excessive? Would 20 shots? At what point are we going to stop it and say this was excessive?
Mm.
You feel me? I think it's a clear cut of excessive force. And if that's the way that they're trained to operate, then we need to change their training techniques. You feel me?
Yeah. I forgot who said this though. These cops, they're not trained to have empathy. They're trained to react to certain situations. Mm. I mean, that's pretty much what their training is about though. But it's like they don't know. It's like the one part that really got me thinking was when Blake Jacobs tried to, you know, I guess he tried to break up a fight or some shit, but it's like how do these cops sleep at night knowing that they killed innocent people, and when they are supposed to actually be the people protecting and serving and stuff like that? I'm not saying all cops are bad and everything. It's just a rotten, sour apple. Renegade cops are making the good ones look bad. And I actually did a meme about it on both of my Instagram pages, the podcast page and the primary one that I'm using.
Yeah. That's crazy, bro. I mean, listen, bro, check this out, man. Even serial killers justify their actions. So they find ways to sleep with themselves. So I'm sure a police officer is going to find a way to sleep with himself. They probably going to try to justify. I had to listen to the rap songs that they play. They savages. They gangsters. Listen to the movies that we see. I turn on the news. Look at the news. Look at the people that they show making all of these killings.
Oh, boy.
They fear us. You know?
Yeah, they trying to put fear in everybody though, man.
Now check this out. Now I'm even gonna go there. All right, cool, go. Yeah.
What? You
know, they try to fear. They try to make us. They fear. The fear is a driving factor. It's fear. You understand? Yeah. And they drive that fear in us. They make you want to be scared of the average black man that they see walking on the streets. But we not violent people like that. You feel me? The majority of us are good people, but when you think of a thug or an image of someone to be afraid of, you see me with a hoodie on, you see me with my hair like this, and it gives you a reference of people that you see on the streets doing certain things, and the media is doing nothing but putting these images out, and we fall for it.
Yeah.
So in their mind, they're like, oh, this guy was going to kill me. I had to shoot him 7 times. Look at him, y'all.
Yeah, man.
He's a criminal.
Yeah, so who are you telling, man? That shit is nuts, though, man.
You know?
Yeah, man.
Wild situation, bro.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. I don't know how many months we're going to get through 2021 to see if it's going to get better and everything, but it's kind of hard to say right now.
Right.
Gotta get better though, man. Gotta get better, man.
Yeah, me? Who you telling, man? Who you telling, man? Nah, though. What was I gonna say? Oh, I did come across something actually.
What's that?
I did come across an article. I forget though. This is like basically relating to you know, Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at the tweet and the hashtag, and it said abolish the police, I'm like in my head, like, how do you go from saying defunding the police to fucking abolishing the police? It's almost like saying that you want to get rid. It's almost like saying you want to get rid of the cops and everything. If you get rid of the cops, who's going to protect the women, as far as like, you know, the being victimized of rape, sex trafficking, and all the other nightmare shit that's going on? Like, who's gonna protect them if there's no cops? And then there's gonna be some drug wars and shootings and all other stuff. It'd be too chaotic, though, man. Chain reaction.
No, bro. No, I tell you what, though. I mean, if you don't have police, you gotta have some type of force, you know, to make sure that people not just acting all crazy.
Or state troopers and neighborhood watchmen.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know if these two suckers is gonna work though, man.
You know, it may not. But you know, it may not. Probably won't. But I guess people are gonna are willing to see now. The system has just been going on so much and people so fed up with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, sir.
Well, all right then. Well, that's gonna do it for today's Off the Meat Rack Chains New York podcast, episode 7. If you like what you see, all you have to do, like I said earlier, subscribe to the YouTube channel, G Money Stacks 555, and press the notification button to be notified for upcoming episodes and when we go on air, and including the postings of the previous recorded episodes on the YouTube. Share with your friends and be sure to comment as well. We want your feedback on what you think on the previous episodes and today's episodes, whatsoever, what you like about it. Like, what do you think we should do better or anything like that? Your opinion matters. You know what I mean?
All lives matter. It's like, nah, let me stop playing around. Yeah, excuse me. I'm joking, man. Shit, man. Black lives matter.
I knew you were going to do that shit, man. And also, before I even wrap up here, man, let me basically remind people about the link in the bio. When you go into the link in the bio on Facebook and Instagram, let me just put this up right here. All right, let me see. All right. Hold on. All right. So, like I said, you can follow the show on Facebook and Instagram, which is Off the Meat Rack Chains NY podcast. Now, when you go to the link on Facebook, on the Facebook page, you're gonna see Linktree/GMoneyStacks. When you click on it, you're gonna see streaming platforms like this: Listen Notes, Acast, Anchor, Deezer, Podcast Addict. Don't forget to download that when you get the chance. Spotify, Player FM, TuneIn, Google Podcast, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Podchaser, iHeartRadio, and last but not least, the YouTube.
Yes, sir.
And don't, and like I said, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel for all upcoming episodes and previous episode recordings of each episode of the podcast whatsoever. And if you like to make hold on. And also you can follow each of us on social on Instagram, like Be Live right here. His is in underscore the loop underscore the hold up. You do it.
You got it, man. Go ahead. In the loop radio. You know, you already got it.
Yeah, I didn't want to forget the underscores and everything, but exactly.
Loop films underscores, man, between N and Loop Films. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you can follow me at GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York, along with the other co-hosts, which is Concept of Life and Awesome Cookie. And last but not least, if you'd like to make a charitable donation, all you have to do when you go into the link tree, you're going to see support Off the Meat Rack Chains New York podcast by making a donation. When you click on it, it's going to show you like the different types of debit cards or whatnot. Now, it doesn't matter what the amount is. What this is about is what you can afford. Now, Anchor FM / GMoneyStacks / support. That's anchor.fm / GMoneyStacks / support. And don't forget to rate, subscribe, like, comment, leave us a review on what you feel about each episode whatsoever. Whether it's like you know, certain things we could do better and stuff like that. Leave us a 5-star review if you like the show so much. So with that being said, this is Be Live. I'm G Money Stacks. We are out of here, signing off, all right?
Yes, peace, sir.
And love.